Gracious Holy One, we thank you for this moment of celebration and love. Speak to our hearts for your divine word as we continue to appreciate your unconditional love that you have for each and every one of us. In Christ's name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passages taken from the Gospel according to John. And if you have your Bibles, it's John chapter 2. It's also printed on the back of your worship bulletin. Listen to these words by John, who takes his point of view totally different than the other gospel writers known as the synoptic gospels, because they would all agree upon what they have on paper as it relates to the life and ministry of Jesus. But John takes a total different picture. Listen to these words. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. As I stated, John's writing is totally different than the other gospel writers. John has no birth narrative in his gospel. He just immediately starts out as it relates to Jesus' life and says in John, the first chapter, in the first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." You're talking about hitting it right to the point. You just look at John's gospel and look at chapter 2. He has two subjects there. One, as it relates to the first 11 verses of Jesus at a wedding. Not in a temple, but at a Jewish house at a wedding feast. And then the remaining verses, John talks about Jesus in a worship setting. How indeed he believed that God's house is the house of prayer. And there he needs to continue to worship as well. Well, in this passage of scripture, we have one of the 37 miracles of Jesus, the very first one shared by John, and he also gives us 7 out of the 37. So I want to share it this morning as it relates to love. And getting ready for Valentine's Day, I want to use for my title, "To Serve with Love." To serve with love. Oh, look at that couple there. Isn't that something? That young couple there, that young man and young lady, he's getting ready to marry the love of his life 31 years ago, August 17th at noon. Now, it wasn't a shotgun wedding, but I wanted it at noon because, as you well know, I love the Westerns. And I don't know how many of you know, it was Gary Cooper who played in what movie? High Noon. Amen. Amen. But there you have a couple there to serve with love, with all expectations, and not saying everything was the best at the beginning, but working through the process, and the best is yet to come, because it's all in accordance to God's will and way. So I want to talk about to serve with love and call your attention to the institution of marriage. On yesterday, I received a call from a gentleman who had never been to our church. But, of course, it was in the newspaper as it relates to what we're going to participate after the sermon in the vow renewal celebration. He was so excited about that because he has a daughter who's age 21, who is now a senior in college, and she's looking for her day that she will be married. And, of course, some of her friends, they have their ways in talking about marriage, and you don't need to do that. That's old-fashioned, but he's so thrilled that his daughter still appreciates seeing couples who are witnessing as it relates to God's institution of marriage. It's at an all-time threat, even in our culture today. And so he was just excited about what we're doing because it demonstrates a good witness, especially in our last service when we had a lot of young people here in the balcony and on the floor, the main floor. And it just reminds them of the significance to hear the number of years and the beginning of even those who just now got married. We had a couple, I think it was a year and a half at the last service, and they're still married, still hanging in there. And then we had one couple that was married 53 years and 6 months. Yeah, and they were, hey, they wanted us to include those 6 months as well. So anyway, to serve with love. It's important. Not only, as I stated at the other two services, we need a single ministry. And we need to acknowledge single people who are single and want to be single. And some want to get married, some don't. And so if God is laying upon your heart to lead a single ministry, we want you to just share with us and we want to give you our blessings and let it go forth. Because we want to be a holistic church, not just about single or divorceful, single divorced people or even married people, but we want to serve all of God's people. Amen? To serve with love. Of course, as I stated at the last service, there's many jokes about marriage, and there are many jokes about those who are married and who are dealing with their situations. Perhaps, as you've heard, one man said, marriage is like a cage. Those who are in want to get out, and those who are on the outside want to get in. Every husband knows the familiar words, and the best words to say are, yes, dear. Boy, I even had some women state that. Amen, amen. Perhaps you've heard about Charlie Brown and Lucy. Charlie Brown was so depressed, he humbled himself before Lucy. He laid on the ground and he said to Lucy, I'm depressed because you don't love me anymore. Lucy responded in her own fashion, Charlie Brown, I never loved you. Charlie Brown responded, good, that makes me feel good. Everybody has a different take on love. Perhaps you've heard about the young lady who was had encouraged her boyfriend to ask her father for a hand in marriage. Indeed, the young man did. With fear and trembling, and the father said, yes, you can marry my daughter. He walked out of the room. He shared with the man's daughter. Daughter came in the room. She had tears coming down her cheeks. And she said, Dad, Dad, indeed, I want to get married. But I'm struggling with that because I don't want to leave Mom. I don't want to leave her. The dad said, you're my daughter. And I want to give you the best I have to offer in life. Take your mother with you. You just never know how marriage is going to turn out. Amen. Just like the little boy in school with his peers. He was there with his classmates and the teacher said, who is Patrick Henry? Little boy raised his hand and said, I know. He's the man that got married. And he said, give me liberty or give me death. Amen. Well, I want to talk about to serve with love. If you look at this passage of scripture, indeed, it has a lot to do with love. We talk about love. You look around this sanctuary, and Ashley was here at the last service and others who helped her, part of the decorating committee. And you look all around here, and I want you to take some time out after the service or later on this week and just look at the writings on the walls as it relates to love. Look at your sermon notes, and that first bullet point question is this question. What is love? What is love? Now, Webster has his meaning as it relates to love and a definition that we're going to have right here on the screen. But I want you to, let me read it for you. A deep, enduring concern for others' welfare, affection, and friendship. But here's some of our kids giving their response. Love is forgiveness. When your heart is full, that's love. Love is something you can't take away. Now, I like this one over here, so I'm going to walk over here. Love is food. I mean, these little kids. Love means to me joy and happiness, but also pain. Listen to this one. Love means family and friends and God forever. Love means getting a good book and being by yourself. Now that is love. All right, one more. Love is having someone to watch a movie with or to hug you when you're having a bad day. Isn't that good? And there are many others that are around this wall in this sanctuary that you can just read with a sense of affection and joy. But love is doing. And love is sharing. Love can be a noun and a verb. How do you punctuate your love? Is it with a period, a comma, a semicolon, or a colon, or a question mark, or an explanation mark? How do you express your love? The great theologian Kierkegaard says, to love a person is to demonstrate God's love. To love a person is to demonstrate God's love. And today, people need love. Amen? Tony Evans says it this way, and here's a quote to help you fill in the next bullet point in your sermon notes. A successful kingdom relationship or marriage can be boiled down to that one phrase. Whatever he says to you, what? Do it. That sounds like a Nike commercial, doesn't it? Just do it. You look at this passage of scripture that we have before us. Here John shares that Jesus' mother, Mary, was invited to a wedding feast in Canaan of Galilee. And if you've been to the Holy Land, or if you just Google it, you can see that the distance from Nazareth to Canaan was 20 miles. And Mary was willing to walk 20 miles to attend this wedding feast. And not only Mary, but look at the second verse. The second verse states that Jesus and his disciples were also invited. And that's a good point to note, that if we're having any type of activity or wedding or a social event, you name it, we should invite Jesus. In fact, when we pray and before we have our meetings, before we have our worship services or what have you, we always pray to invite and to acknowledge the presence of God in the atmosphere. Jesus and his disciples were willing to make that journey, that 20-mile journey, to attend that wedding in Canaan of Galilee. Mind you that John does not give us the backdrop as it relates to if it was a kin person of Mary and Jesus, or even related to one of the disciples. But he does share with us that it was at a wedding feast in Canaan of Galilee that Mary, Jesus, and his disciples were present. Now, if you look at the Bible very closely in this passage of scripture, I don't know why that Mary decided that she would take it upon herself. After she learned that all the wine was out, that she would approach Jesus and mention that to Jesus. But you can imagine, here is Mary, who had been part of that 9 months journey of carrying the Savior in her womb. The mother of Jesus. And mothers can be persuasive. Amen. Mothers can get their children or grandchildren to do things that other people can't get them to do. And here is Mary standing in front of Jesus and sharing with him as it relates to the drought of wine. Now, mind you, that doesn't probably sound anything of significance to you and me, but based upon Jewish custom and according to biblical history, it was a major concern for three reasons. If you want to write them down, point number one. Number one, a wedding feast was not a one-day affair. Not just on Saturday or one day in the week. It was the whole week. 7 days, if you will, if you want to make it kind of equivalent to our language and time period. Can you imagine preparing for family members and friends and guests to be at your home for a whole week? Some of us can't take 2 days. But for a whole week, and according to Jewish custom, it was the host family responsibility to provide the necessities for the whole week. Family members and friends didn't have to bring anything but themselves. It was part of the custom. But point number two, if a family has not prepared adequately, then that family could easily be cast out of the village because they haven't measured up and kept hold to custom. Mary was very familiar with that. And then lastly, she was also familiar with it would be total humiliation. That family would be embarrassed. Now, they didn't have email, but I guarantee you word would have gotten out around Canaan of Galilee. That family can't hold their own weight. So Mary approached Jesus. And it's good to know that she decided to go to the Savior. But look at Jesus' response to his mother. And listen to these words again when Mary approached Jesus and told him that the wine was out. Here's Jesus' response. It's in red in my Bible. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Those of you who have grandchildren or children who attended the last service, I did warn them not to go home when you ask them to do their chores and say, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Jesus was not saying this as a way of rebuke against Mary, but he was aligning himself up with the will and the way of God. It was all about timing, in God's own timing. Jesus was being obedient to his father, but look how he turns that and also be obedient to his mother. Because Mary said in response to Jesus' words to the servants, whatever he tells you, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's good advice for you and for me. Whatever Jesus tells us in these love letters that he has printed before us, we ought to what? Do it. You see the servants. They go and they get six water pots. And Jesus tells them to fill it up to the brim. Now, this is very significant because if you look how Jesus is going to take an Old Testament example of a miracle and make it into a New Testament model miracle, you can see why he told them to fill it up to the brim. For in the Old Testament, it was Moses. When Moses wanted to share with the children of Israel and to demonstrate to Pharaoh's army, it was Moses, according to the Bible, that had water pitchers filled up. And he prayed to God. And through God's response to Moses, that the water that was in the pitchers turned to blood. As a sign of destruction. But now, devastation. But here's Jesus now. Jesus had them to fill up the water pots. And then Jesus turned water into wine. It was a new way of a symbolic gesture. Because if you continue to read the passage all the way to the 11th verse, you'll see that it was Jesus who told those who were responsible as servants to take those water pots to the host, to the master, as it indicated. And you see, when he consumed, what did he respond? And he said, let me read it to you very closely. As he shared, the master who received this, he says, every man at the beginning set out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. In other translations, it says you have saved the best for last. See, the world gives us attractions that gravitate and calls our attention to receive what the world has in a worldly way first. And then when we have wasted all, the world has little to offer. But look what God does. God gives us just the beginning of his goodness. And if we stay rooted and grounded in Jesus, we'll know that every day is sweeter than the day before. For the best is yet to come in Christ Jesus. He has many blessings that he wants to bestow upon us over and over again. Why? Because he loves you and me. Amen. And he loves us unconditionally. Even when we mess up and make mistakes and sin, he continues to love us over and over again. How many of you, by a show of hands, watched the Super Bowl? All right. You can be honest. I was going for the Falcons, but they lost. Amen. But I noticed something. Media has a way of making sure that they follow us, follow the superstars, the celebrities, from beginning to end. Perhaps you noticed in the first quarter, Tom Brady's wife was cheering. It was 0-0. And then when the Patriots got behind, she was still cheering. The third quarter, when they were behind 25 points, guess what? She kept cheering. And then eventually, she could cheer when the score was tied and they had gone into overtime. And of course, you know, she really cheered when they scored and won the game. It's a beautiful illustration of how a spouse continues to cheer and continues to support husband or even a wife receiving cheers from her husband. Words of encouragement. As I stated at the last two services, I'm the quarterback of my home. I call the plays. No ifs, ands, or but about it. Amen. Amen. Every man is required by God to be the man of the household. Teresa's laughing because Linda looked and she was surprised. Amen. But as the quarterback, I have to call the plays according to the will and the ways of God. Any plays outside of the will of God, then those who are part of the house don't have to execute those plays. But even as the quarterback, I make mistakes, I make blunders. But I'm so glad I got a cheerleader that continues to encourage me, to continue to motivate me and stimulate me and appreciate me, and vice versa. It's a great reminder that we need people in our lives who will continue to give us affirmation, who will continue to encourage us to stay in the will and the ways of God. Amen? It reminds me of a great poem. It's entitled, Don't Quit, Author Unknown. Look to your neighbor and say, don't quit. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Look to your other neighbor and say, don't quit. It goes like this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the roads you're trotting seem all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to weep, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is a queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learn. And many of failures have turned about when they might have won had they stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may begin with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint in the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. You might have been near when it seemed so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things are worse. You must not quit. You have to hang in there. God is on your side. Amen? Amen. Well, let me close and share with you. Not only does Jesus perform this miracle, but he continues to perform miracles each and every day in our lives. If you look at the last bullet point that you have in your sermon notes, it's this. Three of the things God has never seen are, number one, a person God does not love. When you look in the mirror when you go home, you'll see a person that God loves, and he loves us unconditionally. Number two, a situation God can't help. He can help all and every situation. If you're in a crisis right now, know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God can help you. He'll be a help, a present help in the time of need. And lastly, a substitute for God's Son, Jesus Christ. He loves us over and over again. 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 19th verse reminds us of that. If you have your bulletin, read that with me, if you please, on the front cover of your bulletin, and you'll see how much he really loves you and me. Let us read the front cover of our bulletin. We love him because he first loved us. That's great news. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. In Jesus' name, to serve with love. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen.